Hello and welcome to Intellectually Shallow. No running, no, oh man, no running, no diving, no horseplay. Since overanalyzing the mundane for not more than four episodes. Welcome everybody. We've been on for a little while and we've got, we're testing out some co-hosts here and here's Renee. Say hi to everybody, Renee.
Hello everyone.
So Renee, tell everybody your story, kind of your background, where you come from and, you know,
quick version.
Okay.
I am originally from South Africa, born there in 1984, Johannesburg, yay, Westbury, moved here in 91 with my twin brother and grandmother. My parents were already here. Been in Maine for 20 years. Don't know why, because I hate snow. But, no, I love this place. Yeah, and that's kind of my short version of the story.
Okay. She decided that she's going to come and give us a shot here. Here at the old Intellectually Shallow.
I'm excited about this. I really am.
And so you do some, what other media things do you do like a plays? And
Yeah, I'm a musician. I sing and I love theater. So I do a lot of plays and theater work. Right now I'm stage managing for a production in Biddeford for the City Theater. We're doing a show called Edges. It's a new musical. It's kind of awesome. The music is fantastic. I wish I could sing like that, but I can't. And then I have, you know, church choir stuff that I'm involved with. And, of course, I have a million jobs. I nanny. I work at one of my family's stores on Washington Ave. I never have time for myself, but I like it that way. So now I'm going to add something more to my schedule. Well, hopefully. Excuse me. I'd like to.
This is true. And, you know, so definitely try for you by. See if you have a good time.
Absolutely.
See if you get along. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. So a little bit, we've been gone for a little while. I've been sort of between co-hosts. Rachel was, she got another job working for one of the local weekly papers, and so she really didn't have time for the show. She's still a fan, enjoys the show. I'm glad. And so it got to be around Christmas time, and I got busy at work, so really I hadn't had much time to deal with the show, and I figured new year, new start. So we'll get right back into it. Okay. You know, we have a couple topics here. here's a new one. This is, you know, this is the mundane. I found an article here. It says, it's in physorg.com. Objectifying gaze triggers conflicting outcomes for women. Here we go. I guess. In a new study, researchers found that women who were subjected to objectifying gaze were more severely affected by the action than men.
Shock.
I'm making googly eyes.
He's objectifying me right now.
Ooh, baby.
Right now.
Okay. We're more severely affected by the action than men. Most notably, women perform significantly worse on math problems after being ogled. Is that pronounced right? Yeah.
Is it ogled or oogled?
I think it's ogled or maybe it's ogled.
I don't know.
A concern for advocates of improving women's roles in male-dominated fields of science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But at the same time, women were surprisingly motivated to seek out and interact with a person who looked them over, the study showed. The objectifying gaze may lead to a vicious cycle in which women underperform in their work, giving people the impression that their looks are more important than what they do, said Sarah Gervais, a University of Nebraska Lincoln, assistant professor of psychology and the study lead author. Unfortunately, this cycle may persist if women continue to interact with people who led them to underperform in the first place. So basically, here's the study. It involved 150 people, 67 women and 83 men, who were invited to take part in an interview-style exercise to examine how people work in teams. Each was assigned an interviewer of the opposite sex, who, when the participants entered the room, looked at them from head to waist and from waist to head in one sweeping motion and stared at their chests during the interview. Interviewers also gave participants written feedback at the end of the interview that said, among other things, that they were looking good. Participants were then given a dozen math problems and also answered several questions to establish their feelings about their own bodies as well as their interviewer.
Do we know why they chose math?
I don't know. It doesn't say. But I guess it would require a bit of, analytical thought.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's true.
You know, as opposed to, you know.
There's thought. I mean, you have to think. You have to process. You have to go through.
And I think they're trying to make, you know, I think part of it is, I think there's some studies. I don't know how true this is. And one thing you have to understand about these things is you kind of generalize, but making the generalization doesn't really apply to everybody.
It's 150 people.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not, to me, not a really significant study.
But you know, there's some other stories that women are not as good in math as men. And there's probably truth to that. There's a lot of reasons why that's the case. But, you know, but any one woman could be better than math than any individual man.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can take these things, you know, I sound like I'm being sort of sexist person, but I'm really not, because I'm taking the generality. When we get into sexism is when you take a generality and apply it to a specific person and say, women are bad at math, that means you're bad at math because you're a woman.
I happen to be bad at math, but
you know, but to make that jump is a little
much.
A bit, yes. And so, is incorrect. It's just like anything else. It's a matter of, you know, in a group doesn't always apply to the individuals.
No. I mean, well, it says researchers assumed correctly that women would have been more troubled with the math problems than men in the study.
Yeah.
Women are predictably reported more shame and
Here we go. Then, assumed correctly that women would have more trouble with the math problems than men in the study. Women also predictably reported more shame and dissatisfaction with their bodies than men. Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Like I said, any one guy would not necessarily feel that way. But generally, it's probably right.
Yes, yes.
But why would women say they wanted more contact with someone who objectified them? Among the possibilities, Gervais said, that being stared at in an objectified way can suggest to women that their appearance is valued over their other qualities. This may lead them to feel their sense of belonging is threatened, can motivate them to do something about it. Or, she said, women may want more interaction to show the person who objectified her that she is simply not a sex object. The research is an important first step towards documenting and explaining the immediate consequences for the objectifying gaze and actual interactions, and shows that it's particularly problematic for women. The results suggest that seemingly innocent overtures, checking women out or complimenting them on their appearance, have remarkably negative effects on women. Identifying the adverse consequences of the objectifying gaze is the first step towards creating interventions that can reduce its effects. Now, here the key is what we do with this information, once we have it. I'll tell you, probably 30, 20 years ago, this information would be reason to keep women out of the workplace.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's to make men behave. That's how we've changed as a society.
Now it says, look,
men keep your found. You know, men keep your eyes in your, up here.
I have eyes. Look at my
right
eyes.
Right here.
Look at my eyes.
You're ruining my math scores. I can't head because you're looking at my boobs.
I can't do anything because you're looking at my boobs. I can't function. I can't go. As a woman who takes time every morning at night. I lay out my outfit at night. I know what I'm going to wear.
Wow.
Sometimes that changes once I've showered and gotten dressed and ready. But when I get dressed, there's a purpose. I like to look good. I enjoy looking good. I grew up with a mother who, you know, got dressed every morning and we would watch her and it was a wonderful thing. So when I get dressed, yeah, I like to look good. I do it for me. I notice that other people notice.
No.
And it doesn't necessarily hurt that other people notice, but
here's what the study really says. I'll distill this to a couple of sentences.
Okay.
Quit objectifying me, and I can't do my math homework, but I want to sleep with you.
That's basically what that study said. Thank you for looking at me is what okay. that said. I don't want you to look at me, but thank you. That's what that study said.
No. I can't do my math homework, but let's go out.
Yeah, exactly. Who needs math? I'm cute. I've got boobs. I don't need math.
That's pretty much how that goes. Glad to shake that out for you. Say, I could have probably, instead of reading the whole article, I could have probably distilled it down to three sentences.
Well, thank you for letting me know how it goes.
Okay, just so you know. You know, there's more of where that came from, I'm telling you.
I'm sure I'll hear it.
Okay. I don't know, you know.
Oh, my. Okay. What do we have next?
Let's see.
Oh, we're...
Oh, here we go. Speaking of objectification, here's an article. This is in the Global Post, which is some British tablet to help. Who knows what these are? They all have, you know, in England they have these papers, and they all have a little bit of their own agenda, and this is one of them. A porn channel for women. This is in the Netherlands, actually. Hilversum, Netherlands. A play needs spicing up, and critics have panned the sexual chemistry between actors Daniel and Mariah. Then in one afternoon performance, she changes the plot, stripping off her silk robe and pulling him onto the bed. Soon they are naked, enjoying real sex in front of the delighted theater audience. Welcome to the world of Dusk, the Dutch TV channel, which claims to be the first in Europe, providing nonstop pornography and erotica targeted at the female audience. We called it Porna, to give the idea that it's porn made for women, something different than traditional porno, said Martin. Martin. I think it's actually Martin. Let's see, I used to be able to pronounce this. It's Martin.
Okay.
Programma, the man behind Dusk. I used to be able to pronounce Dutch names, believe it or not. Believe it or not, 3 years ago, Dusk, with its distinctive Chili Pepper logo, now shows 24/7 on three Dutch networks, including the Netherlands' two largest cable providers, making it available to 1.2 million viewers.
It's incredible.
That's jump change compared to YouPorn.
Compared to what?
YouPorn.
What's that?
It's like YouTube, but with porn.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Women really like to see explicit content, Berzerma explained. They want to have proof that it's really happening, that it's not fake. Surfing the networks on the flat screen in this cool white office in Hilversum, a city east of Amsterdam, where much of the Dutch media is based, Berzerma shows off some of Dusk's content. First, an S&M scene featuring a leather-clad woman and a man tied wearing a nothing but a kitchen apron and a gas mask. A click of the remote changes to soft-focused eroticism of the Hollywood series Black Tie Nights for daytime viewing. Next up comes a clip from Matinee, the award-winning drama by the American erotic filmmaker Jennifer Lyon Bell, which stars those daring onstage lovers. Holland and Lucky is lucky to have Dusk. There is infinitely a market of underserved women in the United States who would love to have something like this, said Bell. There is a revolution going on right now in porn, an alternative and feminist porn. And yet there aren't a lot of outlets for it to be sold. A Harvard educated psychologist, Bell is now based in Amsterdam. Besides making female-oriented porn for her Blue Artichoke movie company, she teaches a course in erotic film at the Dutch Film Academy. While working in the cable industry, Brahma heard networks complain about the lack of erotic content for women. With a partner, he investigated the market and found that just a little over half of Dutch women watched porn and 78% would welcome a channel showing female-oriented content. We sat down together and decided we don't know what that is, but it's about time we figured it out. It's pretty funny, you know. You ever watch 30 Rock, the show?
Yes.
Did you ever see the one where they had like the, where they had Cable Town and all their money was made from porn?
No.
So they decided, you know, they're getting bought by, NBC is getting bought by Cable Town. And they said, well, we're going to have porn for women. And what it was guys on TV acting like they were interested in what they had to say.
Thanks, 30 Rock.
That was porn for women.
Just listen to me.
Just listen. You know, I have my theory about female. Like, I have a theory about this one, and I've probably said it on my show in the past. On the shows in the past.
What's your theory? Tell you.
See, like, here's my stripper musician theory. Right, guys, musicians to women are like strippers to guys. Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out.
Okay.
Hear me out. Basically, how that works is, you know, when a guy goes to a stripper and gets a lap dance, mm-hmm. you know what he's paying for?
Mm-hmm.
He's paying for fake physical intimacy.
Absolutely.
Okay? When a woman goes to a show and watches the musician sing, she is paying for false, fake emotional intimacy. Because he is acting like he is, you know, connecting with his feelings with her. But it's not really true.
Okay.
And actually, dating a musician is not that much out of line than dating a stripper as far as, like, bad news.
As far as all the things that happen after the show.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, women, you know, women, I'm not going to be too broad. I'm painting a bit of a broad brush here. So
okay.
Any dancers are listening. You know, so, but guys, you know, they get that fake intimacy, and some guys can figure the fake with the real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they're, and so they get that confused.
I worked at Platinum for 2 years, okay. 3 years, 3 years. It started in high school, actually. I had planned financially for everything in college.
Ah.
And then a month before I was supposed to leave, my older brother was like, so, okay, how much do you have set aside for books?
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I totally forgot I have to buy my own books. What am I going to do? I have a month left. There's no way I'm going to have that extra money. And so I was talking to a friend of mine at the time, and she was like, well, why don't you just work at Mark's for a month, make the money that you need, and leave it at that? And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm 18, whatever.
Oh, there you go.
So I got a job there.
Mm-hmm.
And my first night was one of the most interesting nights I've ever had in my life.
Yep.
And I made what I needed for books that night.
Wow.
Yeah. Part of that had to do with the fact that I'm a black female in Maine.
Yes.
So
and you're a cute 18-year-old.
Yes. And it was probably like the best shape of my life. And our skirts are this big. Our tops are this big. I was wearing 5-inch heels for 12 hours.
Well,
my midriff is showing, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're running around with – they make you wear a garter?
Yes.
They make you wear a garter, so you have this little garter on. It's the whole thing is a show. But yeah, working in that place was the things you see, the people you get to know.
Or, you know, more than you probably want to know.
Absolutely. I mean, I enjoyed it. I worked for that month, and then I came home December break, and I worked all through December break, mm-hmm. and then the next two summers I worked there. And
Were you dancing?
Or no,
were you,
no, no.
You were just working?
What do they call them?
I have no idea. I've never been.
They don't call them a waitress.
PTs or whatever it's called now. The only strip club.
Yeah, now it's PTs.
Yeah.
Anyway, I serve drinks. That's what I did. Drinks. Thank you. I can't think of the name. There's an actual name that they use for us.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been to that one.
But yeah, no, I just watching guys come in and I could never spend that kind of money on a woman for nothing. I'm like, dude, you're getting nothing.
Hey, you know, I'm with you on this one.
You're getting nothing.
I have been to my fair share of strip clubs in my time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go there, you know, especially when I was a young man in the service. You know, it's like, let's all go. You know, it's almost peer
have
pressure.
Have a good time.
It's almost peer pressure. You know, we're all going to the strip club.
Mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, and that's just what you do.
Of course.
You know?
Why not? You're a young man with mm-hmm. a bunch of other young men.
And you come back off of like a South trip.
Mm-hmm.
You come back off a South trip with like with a pile of money.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little different. I think, hold on. I'm going to put us on pause here.
Okay.
So we're going to fix her mic.
Sorry.
Okay, now we're back. Now where are we?
Yay. I was just saying that I worked in a strip club and I don't understand it. I don't understand how men can spend that much money on something that they can't take home. I feel like I would be more... more to say, go ahead, be a prostitute, because at least you're getting something for it.
I'm kind of involved with you there. I'm like, you know what? I guess, here's what I think. I think if you're married, you go get a little more deposit, what they call the old spank bank. So you go home, you go to the stripper, then you go back to your wife. And you got a little imagination.
Yeah, and get a, there you go.
I think part of it is also, I think the whole, it's, I think men, physical intimacy is more important for men.
Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, yeah, absolutely.
And I think the way I look at it is, it's more important, and they'll pay, and they need it more, and they'll pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like that idea is there, and that's why they'll spend a lot of money. And sometimes guys get a little out of control, where the fantasy is sort of conflicts with the reality.
Mm.
Because they really want it to be, they really want this attractive woman to like them.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how you get regulars in a strip club. And, you know, we knew which ones were coming, we knew which days, we knew, you know, how much they were probably going to spend. And you get regulars for that exact reason, that it's something that they physically need. They physically need it.
Yes.
So.
And if you're really cheap, and what you do is, here's a trick that, you know, pickup artists always do.
Oh, gosh.
As they say, you know, if you want to get used to talking to pretty girls, you go to the strip club at 3:30 in the afternoon. The ones around aren't making any money. You ask them, you know, you treat them like a human being, and, you know, they'll talk to you.
Yeah.
Because they're not really making, there's no one.
They're not making money.
They're not making any money. Yeah. They're just bored.
Like any job, there are downtimes.
Yeah. And they're bored, and they'll talk to you.
Absolutely.
And you don't have to spend any money on things.
Nah.
Maybe buy a drink or two just so they'll kick you out.
You can't go and spend nothing.
Yeah, you got to have a couple of drinks, but that's about it.
Yeah, you don't know. No, that's about right. But I think, you know, I don't know if it's my generation or what, but especially with this specific article, from what I get from, like, my mom and, like, my cousins, my older cousins and my aunties, like, my generation, I think the females are much more sexually aware of everything.
Where is that buzzing coming from?
I don't know. I have nothing on of mine.
There it goes. Okay. I think that might... Yeah, there we go.
I mean, I could be wrong about this, but I just feel like my generation, the women are just as bad as the men.
I think they're actually worse.
Really? I don't know if I'd go with worse.
Here's my whole theory behind that. I got another theory. See, I got all these
lots
theories.
Of theories. Okay.
They're really hypotheses if you're really truly scientific.
Okay, yes.
You know, I think women have more of a license to misbehave in that area than guys.
Really?
I think in modern society, like, you know, if you, like, for example, strip club.
Mm-hmm.
Guy goes to a strip club. He gets out of line. He's out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Guy stripper, women act like jerks. That's pretty much tolerated.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are we talking sexual gratification via non-physical, or are we talking sexual gratification via physical? Like, because to me, those are two different things. Women cannot do what men do. Women can't sleep with two or three guys at the same time and everybody walk away like it's nothing. If a girl does that, she's a whore. If a guy does that, he's a player.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that too. But I think the thing is, I think women being obnoxious, society gives more of it a pass. Not so much being sexual or...
Oh, just obnoxious in general.
Obnoxious in general.
With anything.
With anything.
Okay. Yes, I will agree with you on that one.
You know, I think women get more of a pass in today's society.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so that sort of reflects in other things. They could be a little more, you know, I don't know, outgoing, but a little more like, I don't know.
Aggressive?
A little more aggressive. Society gives them a pass. A guy, you know... One touch of the bouncer, he's out of there, so he has to be a little more circumspect.
Yeah, but I think as a woman, well, I don't know. It's hard to even make it, I mean, there's no fair way to judge it. Because I would, if it were me, I'd much more be okay with a woman doing or trying something than a man, because I'm tiny. I'm five feet tall. So and it's happened at the club when I worked there. Mm-hmm. If a man grabbed me or anything like that, you best be damn sure. I'm calling the bouncer and his ass is gone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but a woman for the most part, the women I dealt with were not aggressive. I've never seen anything super aggressive in the club. But yeah, I agree with you. Women tend to get away with more in that sense because we're women. Absolutely. Absolutely. But men can get away with things that we can never get away with.
Wow. Ever. Oh, yeah. Things like that, I think, as far as like sleeping around and stuff, I mean, guys still have a bit more of a pass.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think part of it, here's, you know, this is a little comedian thing. It's like, you know, here's the old joke is, you know, a guy who's a player, it takes a lot of work and effort and everything else. A woman just kind of has to be attractive.
You don't think it's work?
Oh, I mean, you have to be attractive.
You have to be attractive.
You don't have to be charming and smooth and, you know, and play like politics with guys, with women and their friends. And, you know, there's a lot of, it's pretty complicated stuff.
No, we have to work just as hard. Yeah. I'm telling you. No.
Okay.
We have to work just as hard. Okay. That part I'm going to disagree with.
Yes.
Even if you're attractive, and that's the hard thing is, especially if you're attractive.
Oh, I think, well, that's the key is you have to understand. The key is finding somebody. You want to find the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Some guys just want to find a woman.
Right now.
Or they just have to, you know, there's, let me give you, here's how guys are like, women ask themselves the question, why should I sleep with this guy? Guys ask them the questions, why shouldn't I? That's pretty much, you know, whether they decide to go sleep with somebody or not.
Okay, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want to try the right guy. One guy just wants to find somebody.
General, yeah, if that's what you're looking for. Absolutely. Yeah. If all you're looking for is that, then you don't really
need
much.
That's kind of what a player does.
Okay, yes,
you know what I mean? So it's sort of like the default position for a guy is, why wouldn't I sleep with her? She's crazy, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
Your dad's going to kill me. Stuff like that.
Okay. No, as a woman, if you want to be a player, no, all you really need is good looks.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't really need anything more than that. You need a little bit of charm so you can charm his friends if by chance, you know, he wants to see you.
Yeah.
More than once.
Yeah.
But for the most part, if you want to see him because you're the player, but if a woman wants to be a player, all she really needs is to look good. Absolutely. Yes.
You know, if a guy, but a guy has to actually work it. I mean, he's got, even if he's a slut, he's got to like, okay, he's got to make his move. He's got to wonder what to do. You know, he's got to always, you know, you always have to be the guy, the aggressor for the most part. Because some people, guys don't have to do that, but most guys do.
Mm-hmm.
At least they have to look like, or try not to try hard. You know what I mean? I guess women do that too, but.
Smooth. You got to be smooth.
Got to be smooth.
Players make me laugh because I can tell them from like a mile away.
I'm sending a message to, we have a couple of guests in the chat room.
Oh, nice. Hello, guests in chat room. I'm trying to think of all the,
Let's see. And so
I think it's more accepted now for women to be okay with their sexuality.
I think that's true.
And I think that's where this is blossoming from. These channels and these things that are oriented toward women, porn in specific.
Yep.
It's women now, my age, you know, my age group and a little bit older, it is now acceptable to have a sex drive and want to do something about it.
I bet you there's probably, I know this to be true, like, I don't know if it's quite the true anymore the way it used to be. It used to be if you went to, like, PTs, whatever it's called, down like five places. Like at 12 o'clock on a Friday night, there'd probably be a lot of women in there. Like in the weekends after the bars close.
Generally, when me and my friends go, it's spur of the moment.
Yep.
It's not by choice. It's like, oh, what are we gonna do? We don't really want to go home yet. PTs, and so that's where you end up going.
It's like the last night.
I haven't been since my friend's bachelorette party, which was last year, which was, oh my gosh.
Don't even get me started about bachelorette parties.
It was awesome.
You know.
But yeah, no, I, you know, it's nice because like, I find that, sorry, go ahead. No, I'm not even going to go into that.
Oh, you can go in there. Go there. Come on, let's go.
It was just, we ended up showing up and we hadn't planned it. So we show up and find out that it is the weekend of male midget strippers.
Oh, that's yeah. Okay.
From out of state. Yep. There was a show. And so we get there and I know that's a terrible word, but that's exactly how that's what the sign said.
Little men stripping.
Little men stripping. That's yes. But the sign said midget. So that's what I said. Excuse me. And I apologize. Midgets. But yes. Okay. There were four guys and there actually were two girls too. But we end up going in and holy, oh my gosh. I mean, there was this one guy,
okay.
This African-American guy. And like he kept coming, because there was like, what, 13 or 14 of us. And he kept coming up and he was like, ladies, ladies, ladies. And it was so hard to take him seriously because he came up to my knees when I sat down. Like, oh, but he gave us a show. Did he give us a show? At one point he got on stage and he was like, to my ladies in the front. And he like, oh, it was hilarious.
Was this here?
That was before it was PTs. It was still okay. Platinum.
Oh, Platinum. Okay.
It was still Platinum. Yep. It was great. And then the girl came up to us at one point and she just sat and talked with us. We were talking about they tour all around the country and all of this stuff. But yeah, it was fun. It was great.
And I remember actually, the previous co-host, Kate, I think she went with her boyfriend to the women, little people stripping. Yes. But I tell you the truth, if someone said, let's go see that, I could probably be talked into going to the strip club.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Oh, I'd be all about it.
Oh, when we found out, we were like, yes, we're going, we're going, we're going.
Oh, yeah. I may be talking to that one. You have to twist my arm, but I think I would go.
Okay, so I'm going to keep in mind that I'm just randomly going to search once in a while and see what they're doing. And if by chance it should come up that that's happening, I'll send you a text, let you know.
Okay.
I'll let you know. Worth seeing. It's definitely worth seeing.
So here's a new one. Here's an article speaking of objectifying and, being insensitive.
Oh, gosh, this awful article. Can I read this?
Yeah, you can read this one.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this obsessed me for more reasons than one. First of all, I'm from South Africa, so this is...
Oh, no, not this one. No.
Oh, which one? That one.
The testosterone article.
Where is it? Do I have the whole thing?
You do.
I don't know if
it's not very big.
Is it more than one page?
No, it's only one page. Oh. Actually, yeah, because the rest of them were just... It says 206. The rest of them were just stupid comments. So.
Oh, okay. How testosterone causes men to fail on feelings front. Yay. When men find it hard to work out what women want, blame their hormones. And this is from,
This is from the Daily Mail
reporter.
Another one of those, UK sort of tabloid type articles.
Okay.
They're always entertaining.
Yes. For the ability to read other people's emotions is greatly reduced by testosterone, a study suggests. Boosting the amount of the male sex chemical in women slows their ability to empathize. Researchers from Cambridge and... What's that?
Reaches Cambridge and... Altrak University.
Universities. Found tests also showed that those women with longer... ring fingers than index fingers caused by high testosterone exposure in the womb are more likely to be affected.
Huh. So let's see. Ring finger. Let's five up. Which one's your ring finger? Is it this one? The one past your, on the other side of your thumb. So your ring finger. Okay. You don't have testosterone.
Nope. See? I got lots of estrogen.
Okay.
Females were tested because they have naturally low levels, meaning any effect of raising the amount could easily be spotted. Cambridge researchers and autism expert Simon Baron Cohen told the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science journals, small hormonal differences can have far-reaching effects on empathy. Dutch researcher Professor Jack Van Honk said, we are excited by this finding. The results also add weight to a theory that an overload of testosterone in the womb can raise the odds of autism, he added.
Okay, I think I know what the buzzing is. I think it's coming from your headphones. Like,
is it?
Yeah, so, yeah.
Should I take them off?
No, leave them on.
Okay.
Just when you turn your head to the side, try not to turn. I think that's what's going on.
Okay.
These microphones are more sensitive. These are newer than my old chip.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't understand how this study shows that men have...
Yeah.
Because it's not tested on men.
No, it's tested on women. you know?
Yeah. And our bodies are so, I mean, our bodies are the same, but they are very chemically on some levels very different. Yeah. So I don't understand how this study can find that men have issues on the feeling front if you don't test men.
Yeah, I know. I think this is a headline. It's not really the result, you know, of the survey.
No.
You know, it's trying to go for the, you know, why men are pigs.
Yeah, it's trying to just explain away.
It's our testosterone.
I don't take responsibility for not caring about how you feel.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's just my testosterone talking, baby. Sorry, I can't understand any of what you know.
If a man
make me a sandwich.
Ever said that to me.
Make me a sandwich.
I would tell him, okay, now look what my estrogen is about to do. That would be my response.
Something about a foot somewhere in the testosterone production area.
Yes. Go ahead, give me that excuse. Okay. I dare you.
Well, you have too much testosterone. Let's see what happens when I kick you in
Let
the
me take some of that testosterone away for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, there's my, you know, at least that was, like, I went up to a rap show at Gino's, which is like the rock club. They had some rappers. And I was thinking, you know, what's my new rap name? You got to have a rap name. And my new rap name was probably called it was Free Ballin'. I don't know where that came from. And I was drunk, so. And I tweeted it. And, you know, and you know what the first album was? Whacked in the Jimmies.
Whacked in the Jimmies.
Yes.
Whacked in the Jimmies by Free Ballin'. I want to hear that announced somewhere.
I wish I could rap.
Wait, we just have the Grammys? That would be the best. I wouldn't. Who would you like to introduce you?
I don't know.
Who do you want to say that?
That's a good question.
Out loud.
50 Cent, maybe?
Oh my gosh. Ladies and gentlemen, please, we are now introducing Free Ballin' with his new single.
Maybe Bob Dylan?
Ooh. Oh, wow.
It'd have to be like somebody, a total rapper or someone like some total, you know, not associated with rap at all.
No. How about you have like Betty White come up and introduce you? One. I would love to hear Betty White say Free Ballin'.
Well, I wouldn't go Betty White. Who would I go with? You know, Morgan Freeman, maybe?
Oh, except I'm mad at Morgan Freeman right now.
How about James Earl Jones? He would be awesome.
Oh, that would be great.
Free Ballin'.
That would be great.
With his deep album, Whacked in the Jimmies.
Yes. And like slow and like almost Barry White sensual.
Free Ballin', Whacked in the Jimmies.
Best new album.
Now all I have to do is learn how to rap and write songs. So, you know.
Yes. Music and melodies.
I got a big hill to climb there.
You're going to have to learn.
I got a pretty steep learning curve.
How to mix beats.
Yes. I have the technology, but, you know.
It's a skill that needs.
Skill.
Oh, my gosh. I would love that.
I got no rhythm. Well, I got rhythm.
No?
I do have a decent amount of rhythm.
I wouldn't assume that you wouldn't.
You know, so.
Well, that's a good start. Rhythm's a good start.
I used to dance at Zoot's a lot when I was back in the day.
Oh, Zoot's. All my mom and her friends used to go to Zoot's, and I just remember.
Now you're making me feel old.
No. Don't feel old.
Okay.
Don't feel old. I'm trying to think. My memory of Zoot's is my mom and her friends stumbling in the door, piss-ass drunk from a night at Zoot's.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember being a kid being like, I want to go there someday.
Seemed like a lot of fun.
It did.
And it was. Hate to bust your mom, but it was fun.
Thanks.
It was good times. You know, that was like, I'll tell you, you know, for people that aren't from the area, that was like a club legend. It was open from about 1988 to 2000. And it was like this dance club. They had like dancing probably four nights a week. And then they had bands usually on Friday. And they had like bands like Smashing Pumpkins. What else band?
Really? I didn't know.
Yep, 11th Dream Day, which is sort of an old punk band. What was another one? Maybe. I don't know if you ever heard of that
one. That one I
Screaming
heard.
Trees. Like bands like that. What was another band that I saw? Dinosaur Jr. used to play there all the time. I don't know if you ever heard of them.
No.
That's more like that was old sort of grunge era.
Okay, yep. Early 90s.
Yeah, early 90s. That's when I used to go there a lot. And the first band, actually, the first night I showed up in town and my coworker takes me to Zoots.
Your first night.
Well, it was like my first weekend.
It's a good introduction to Portland, Maine.
And I went there and it was, I saw this band called Meat Beat Manifesto, which it's like an old techno band kind of. And they're really late. And they didn't show up till like 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's awful.
And they were like, they jumped out and did like techno music and they're wearing big spiky outfits. It was really funny. It was great. Classics.
What time did they used to close if the band didn't show up till that late?
Zoots, they would be open. See, they'd stop serving at like 1.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd pull all the drinks up and then open it back up for all ages. If you were over 18, they'd let you in. Back in the day.
Wow.
So there was a lot. Like on Friday nights, sometimes if they didn't have a band, they usually had like all ages night.
Okay. Now they call them Kemp Free.
Yes. It might have been called Kemp Free, but I think it was all ages back then.
Okay.
It was like the only place really that they really had all ages. And they have Kemp Free. I think isn't there a place like down in somewhere that, and actually some of the other clubs, like I think the Big Easy would have a Kemp Free night. Nice. Like it was like Sunday afternoon.
I know that Styx does a Kemp Free on Sunday or Monday nights. Sunday nights. And then somebody else does it. Bingas Wingas downstairs.
Okay.
The stadium or whatever. I don't know. I never know what to call it, but the stadium place.
Yeah.
They do a Kemp Free night, I think on Fridays or something like that. Yeah.
Hopefully they don't, so you can just eat hot wings.
Yeah. And they have some good food, though.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. Yeah, we can go back to our next article. Here's a woman who probably has a little too much testosterone. Not a very empathetic person.
No, in fact. Not empathetic at all, you awful woman.
Since this is your homeland, South Africa, I'll let you read this one.
Thank you. Woman who wanted to be a grandmother hires man to rape her daughter. From the Mail Foreign Service. A woman who desperately wanted to be a grandmother was arrested after allegedly arranging for her daughter to be raped. The 51-year-old South African mother has appeared in court after being accused of employing a local man to carry out the attack in the hope that her 24-year-old daughter would conceive. Both the woman and the alleged attacker were arrested when the victim reported the plot to police after she was raped on Sunday near her home in South Africa, Limpopo Province. A police spokesman today said investigating officers had been sickened by the alleged scheme. He said this young woman was raped and it appeared her attacker had been set up to commit the crime by her own mother. She was desperate to be a grandmother, but her daughter was not showing any signs of wanting a baby. This is when she decided to arrange for a man to make her pregnant against her wishes. The attack happened on Sunday. The mother and the rapist were arrested the same day. The woman, who cannot be named to protect the identity of her daughter, appeared before magistrates yesterday to face the charges of being an accomplice to rape. She stood in the dock alongside Finis Fetnadi. I'm not sure if that's how that's correctly pronounced, 33, the man accused of committing the attack. Police said they believe the mother had inquired within the community to find the man willing to commit the crime. It is not known whether she offered a financial reward to the man, but police believe she identified her daughter as the intended victim. She then allegedly ordered Fetnadi not to use a condom during the assault, which happened in the village of River Cross near Burgersfort, around 250 miles north, just east of Johannesburg, excuse me.
And you're from South Africa.
Yes. Yes. Hey, I don't know that name.
Okay. Johannesburg.
Johannesburg. I'm from Johannesburg.
Okay.
Lieutenant Colin, let's try that again. Mahal Seva? I'm going to go with Ramat Seva.
That sounds right.
Sure.
I have no idea how to pronounce names, but
said the incident had devastated the woman's daughter and community. He added the poor girl must now wait to see if she has conceived a child as a result of the attack. Meanwhile, she knows her mother was responsible. Those who knew them from the village can hardly believe what happened. The two suspects were yesterday remanded in custody. They are due to reappear in court on February 17th.
Isn't that fabulous? Well, you know, my father wanted to have a grandkid really bad, but he would never hire, anybody to rape me to get one. Since it really wouldn't work.
Well, no, it could work. Women rape men.
This is true.
It's possible. Women rape men.
I would have a grandchild, and I'd have to pay some rapist child support.
Not if you were raped. I hope you wouldn't have to pay some rapist child support.
Trust me, the government wants their money somehow, and they'll get it from whoever can pay.
Oh, that's awful.
Didn't you ever hear those deals where guys would, like, you know, they'd find out, like, a couple years later that their kid wasn't theirs? And they still have to pay child support?
Yeah. I know somebody who did that.
Yes.
Who that happened to. And he it's been proved with DNA, and they still take a check from him, which is awful.
That's horrible.
Awful.
Sometimes you're better off not knowing just because...
And he found out by mistake. It wasn't like a, I don't trust you, I don't believe you type of thing.
Yep.
Like, he was good, they were married, and then he found out.
Ooh.
And then they got divorced, but he still had to pay child support.
Ooh, how old was the kid?
The kid was only 4.
Well, after 2, I think it's like a year or something like that. I don't know. Depends on the state.
I don't know how
the state wants their money, and they're going to get it one way or another.
I think it's awful.
They don't want something going on welfare. They don't care.
Yeah, that's true.
You know.
No, so this woman, yeah, I don't, I can't even begin to understand what kind of a person would,
Some people want what they want, and they'll do anything to get it, I guess. Like, my father threatened us, because he wanted a baby in the family so bad, he goes, if you kids don't give me a grandkid, he goes, I'm getting me one of them wives from the Philippines and having a baby myself.
Oh my gosh.
He actually did say that.
How many siblings do you have?
One.
Okay, so just the two.
My mom died like in 1992, 1991. So, you know, this is several years after that. She says, I want a baby in this belly so bad. If you kids aren't going to give me one, I'm going to the Philippines and make my own.
Oh my gosh.
Because he used to work over in the Philippines for a while, so he had some contacts. But my brother had, I have a niece.
Okay. So I assume that's her
behind you. That is my niece behind me, yes. I think she's 10 now.
Yeah, you need to update your photos.
Well, I haven't gotten enough. I was friends with her on Facebook for a while, but I think she changed her account around.
Because I'm pretty sure she's got to be, 4 in that picture?
Yeah. But, you know, I have to remember her as you know.
Aww.
I have a bunch of pictures of different ages, so I have a couple of up. And I don't know, I've not seen them, I haven't seen her in a couple of years, so.
Okay. Where do they live?
Missouri.
Oh, okay.
So I may plan a little spring getaway to Missouri.
Nice.
Yeah, so, you know, I could see desperate grandparents are going to have a kid. Yeah, but, you know, let's put it this way. That segues to our other story.
About kids.
There's an article here.
And let me just remind everyone, before this article gets read, I'm a nanny. So anything with kids makes me a little sensitive.
Okay. This is not, like, bad.
No, it's not. Except I don't.
It's an article.
I understand why it was started, but do you want mine?
Where is it? Dang it. Okay, no.
You got it?
I guess I thought I printed out a copy. Maybe you have 2 copies. I only have 1.
Here, take that one.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
So you wonder if this kid, you know, I wonder if the kid from this woman is going to get held back from kindergarten, if there is one.
Oh, gosh.
You know, really, I'll tell you, let's go back to this article. I just thought something.
Mm-hmm.
Really, this is a bad investment on the part of this grandma.
Why do you say that?
Because, really, you're paying someone to do it once. You know, the chances of conceiving.
But we don't know if she paid. It says they don't know if there was a financial reward. She may just have found somebody who was crazy enough to do it for free because he was crazy.
This is true.
And in that case, then there's...
You know, actually, there was a study not too long ago, and they asked people from different parts of the country, like different parts of like Africa and the Middle East, I think mostly, if anybody knows any different, say so. But I think what it was they said it, if you force yourself to have sex on an acquaintance, they don't consider it rape. I find it a little incredulous, but so...
Well, having been there, depending, and I don't know where the studies took place, and I don't know.
We'll have to look that one up, maybe next time.
But I was in South Africa in 2001,
mm-hmm.
was the last time that I was home. And of course, everybody knows the AIDS epidemic there is atrocious and all of that stuff. And the amount of rapes that were happening on a daily basis, I think it's what my thought on why that article came out and why it's accepted. The number of rapes that were happening, I don't know if it would be possible to, not possible, how difficult it would be to keep track of all of the things that were happening. Because at the time that I was there, there was a rumor going around that if you had sex with a virgin, that it cured your AIDS. And so babies were being stolen out of their cribs. Women were being grabbed coming from class. Children, girls were being grabbed coming from school. The rape in the country as a whole just, I mean, it elevated astronomically. So when articles like that come out, it makes me just think, oh gosh, that's people trying to just, you know,
rationalize.
Yeah, rationalize what's going on and how, because it's too much to deal with. It's just so much to have to report and all of the paper, I don't know, which is awful. But yeah.
And but nope, well, we can't give them condoms.
Nope.
Nope, not allowed.
We can't teach them.
No.
They're now starting to, finally, thank God. I mean, when I was there, they were finally understanding it and getting to it. I went to one of the villages, and it was just, I sat in a class of women who, like 90% of them were prostitutes. And I watched this woman try and teach these women what AIDS was, or HIV/AIDS. There's no concept. They had nothing to even go by. So when you see things like rape and all of these things, people don't understand how dangerous it is. And so
they don't understand how it's spread.
No, nope. They don't. There's no education. People don't read in certain places and write. And I mean, Joburg is huge and it's a city and there are things and it's industrialized and stuff. But
so Joburg is short for Johannesburg.
Sorry, Johannesburg. Yes.
But Joburg, that's cool. That's actually, we're way cool. We're hip. We call it Joburg.
We call it Joburg.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, Joburg is starting with the education, but when you go further into the rural areas, harder. Absolutely. So much harder when people don't read and write and never have, generation after generation.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, I think, and then we try to like, oh, we don't want to teach them how to use condoms and have like the Catholic Church. Oh, they're not going to be fruitful and multiply. And it's you know. And really.
All the missionaries that were over there. I just remember actually talking to a missionary and her telling me, like, well, you know, yes, they're married. There was a couple. There was a wife. The husband had cheated and gave the wife AIDS.
Yes.
And the wife wanted to stop sleeping with her husband because she was like, I hate you for killing me. And this missionary, she was counseling them on why it was okay for him to continue to sleep with his wife because it was his wife. And I'm like, please tell me you're joking, right? Like.
Yeah, you need to, like,
you're doing what in the name of who? No. No.
And I always have this question, and maybe you can answer it for me.
Mm-hmm.
In America, really, if you're a straight man,
you
know, unless you do intravenous drugs, your chances of getting AIDS are relatively slim.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know the statistics. I used to do AIDS and HIV and AIDS education and awareness. It's been a very long time since I've kept up on any of that. But I think the statistics still show that as a white, single male, that you have the lowest, I think, chances of conceiving.
Because you're not using intravenous drugs. You're not coming in contact with blood or semen.
Mm-mm.
You know, and so
if you're not being ridiculously promiscuous or stupid, then yeah, I mean it's not impossible, but it's definitely your chances are lower.
They're really slim.
Absolutely.
And if you wear condoms, they're almost none.
Yeah, absolutely. Protection.
I guess maybe they have their sexual practices are a little more extreme in Africa. I have not figured that out.
No, their sexual practices are not more extreme. As far as you know, this, are you talking about the spread and why?
Yeah, how do men get AIDS in Africa?
How do men get AIDS in Africa?
Yes.
It's unfortunately the way, let's see, how's the best way? And I can't say Africa because it's what I gather and the way that it's happening from what I saw
in
South Africa and Joburg, in my experience, it's just a bunch of irresponsible behavior.
Yeah.
Sleeping with who and when and what and not having any inclination that you're in danger. And that's what it comes down to is it's kind of like that, you know, rich spoiled kid who has never really had to experience anything in life. So they don't understand that there are things in life that can harm them. And then they go out into the real world, you know, for the first time or whenever. And it's a complete culture shock because you have been provided for your whole life. There's that ignorance about not understanding how the world works. And that's how I feel is what it is with the HIV/AIDS is they don't understand how incredibly dangerous it is. So that ignorance just keeps going. And unfortunately, the government has spent a lot of money keeping that image that it's not dangerous.
Do they swap around a lot of blood? I'm like, that's part that gets me because it's usually spread by blood or semen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can see women, straight women get it because they get in contact with semen.
Mm-hmm.
And gay men getting it because they come in contact with
the United States had education the minute AIDS came out.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's what it comes down to. It's mm-hmm. all about education. The United States got that education, and the United States had the funds to be able to start immediately trying to figure out what was killing its people. We didn't have that. Not only did we not have that in South Africa, we had somebody saying, it's not dangerous. You're fine. Yeah. Do what you want, when you want, how you want to do it. Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you kind of sort of do get sick, here are these vitamins that you can take, and you're fine. Yeah, it's like a cold.
And if you find a virgin, you'll be awesome.
And if you find a virgin, you're good. Absolutely. People assume that they can get rid of it with, you know, a daily vitamin. And it's like, no.
Okay, say vitamin. No, that's great. I'm making fun of it. You have to apologize.
But yeah, it's a matter of education. I think it spreads so – that's probably the same thing that's there would have happened here had you guys not had the resources.
Probably. And it was I think what happens – and also, I don't know, they must have some practice that we don't necessarily do that comes in more contact with that stuff. Because really, you know, mostly people in America, that if you do intravenous drugs, you probably get AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
Because you contact with needles and mm-hmm. things. Or if you're gay, you get contact with AIDS. If you're a gay man. And women get in contact because they sleep with men
who
fool around mm-hmm. with guys. Or they do intravenous drugs.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, that's maybe in Africa they do more of that stuff. Maybe.
Not really. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, the last that I knew, I did my senior project was on AIDS in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The practices versus sexually here and there are not really that different.
They're just more extreme, and they probably maybe less cleanly.
No, it's not a cleanly thing. It's because when it comes to AIDS, it's not a dirty thing. It's just it's a sex thing.
They come in contact with certain with bodily fluids
mm-hmm.
somehow.
But it's more. I think it's more sex than drugs than anything. I mean, we as a nation. I'll have to do the research to know for sure.
Because I'm sure.
But I feel like the sexual practices are pretty much the same. There's no real. It's not like people are constantly, having mass orgies with. For the most part, I think people are fairly normal in their sexual practice. My uncle just died a year and a half ago of AIDS, full blown AIDS that he got from his wife, who had an affair with a man who was straight. The man she got it from is straight. So. It's, I don't know. There's all these little.
Yeah. Cause it's contact with blood or semen. So mm-hmm. maybe, that's how you get AIDS.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's, and maybe that there's, they're a little more, maybe homosexuality is a little, maybe less accepted. So someone more likely to.
Actually, do you know that South Africa is one of the first countries in the world to have open gay marriage?
Okay.
Absolutely. We have one of the biggest gay prides in the world every year.
Okay. Or maybe, straight men dallying with men is more accepted?
I think it's more probably a down low type of thing more than anything in that case. That definitely probably would be my. Yeah, because homosexually. I guess, again, where you are. Like, I know my family. I'm openly open and gay or half gay because I date both men and women.
Okay.
And my family's cool. I love my grandmother's mm-hmm. good and everything like that. As a country, I think we're good. But then you have neighborhoods in certain places. Yep. So, yeah, you have you have men who are gay, who are not coming out, who are sleeping with men, who are going home to their wives or their girlfriends. Yes. Absolutely.
So that's I think that might be the link.
That might be where, that under, they call it, in the United States, they call it down low.
Okay.
They call it the down low.
That might be more common in South Africa than it is here. I don't know, maybe.
There's a whole book about it down here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of it down here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so.
No, I agree with you. I'll definitely do some research on that because it's been a while.
It's one of those things that, that I always think about that why is it, and it's a disease, but you have to come, you have to actually get it. AIDS is hard, relatively hard to get. You have to actually work at getting it.
Yeah, you can't just it's not like a cold. You don't just.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have to come in contact with blood and semen within a fairly short
amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
It dies almost instantly. So.
Yeah.
If not in something or on or how that works.
we are actually at an hour.
Holy mother.
It's been, things have been flying. I had a good time.
Yeah, I like this.
Definitely, this has been great.
Do you have a pen?
I do. Hold on.
I'm going to, so I can remind myself to do some research.
Okay.
Perfect. This was fun. I like this.
Okay, now I have to. Here's where I always have trouble.
Uh oh.
We have to tell people our stuff. Like, you know, if you want to contact us.
Oh, okay. Let's, how does this work?
Go look. Okay. Let me go look here. Okay, where is the. This is the website here. So, you can email us at intellectuallyshallow@gmail.com. Always leave us a voicemail message at 207-619-3862. You can Twitter us at you can follow us on iShallowShow. And you can Facebook us on just short for you know, go short, search for a group for Intellectually Shallow or iShallowShow. And those should come up. And there's also a link on our website, which is www.ishallowshow.com. So, looking forward to hearing from you. And I think this is episode 4 in the can.
Woo-hoo.
Bye, everybody.
Ciao.
Ciao.